Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ascend Church. How are you guys doing this morning? Everybody good? My voice is back. Turn off the music, please. Thank you. Everybody stand with us, please. Yeah. Just worship with us.
There's nothing that can stand up.
Sing along. It's a beautiful song. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is mine. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song, 'cause you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, you are good. Oh, let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor of my waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my soul. You are good, good. Oh, oh, you are good, good. Oh, oh, you are good, you are good. Oh, you are good, you are good. Oh,
you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
Good. Oh, you are good, you are good. And he is so good. He is good. He is very good to us. Sing along with this one too. Because he is the way maker. He is definitely the way maker. He makes waves for everybody. He's definitely healing my leg. It's awesome. Yeah. So sing along with me. Here we go.
You never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Come on, sing it out.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Waymaker. Amen.
Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, family, hello. What a beautiful song. Oh my gosh. I love this song. I love this song. Even when we don't see it, he's working. He's always working for us. We are to rest, and he is working. That's his job, to be working. Hallelujah. Thank you all. Thank you, worship team. You guys are amazing. You know, it takes guts to get up here every single service. These guys are anointed. They get up early. They get up early. They organize themselves all week long, getting ready for the service to lead us into the presence of God. It's an honor. We are thankful for you guys. Thank you all so much. These musicians are amazing. You know, we think it's all easy stuff, but can you play drums like Muff? I don't think so. I don't know. Anybody can play drums like Muff. Anyway, we are thankful. We are thankful. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do our mingle minute. This is our time when we are going to find somebody we don't know and say hello, greet them, show them the love of Jesus, tell them how great they look. You guys look amazing today. My name is Anna Cartwright. Our pastor's out of town this week, and so they've asked Tom and myself to help host this weekend. So thank you all for coming. There's a bazillion places you could be on a Sunday morning, and we're thankful that you've chosen to be here. Matthew, hello. So anyway, we're thankful for our time here at Christian Family, Ascend Family Church, Ascend Family Church. Thank you all. And so we have some special guests this morning. We're going to take time to recognize them. Anybody here for the first time? This is your first time to Ascend, and you've never been here? Oh, wow. We have a lot of newcomers. Thank you all. Thank you for coming. We realize that we don't take it lightly. We're thankful that you're here. And so we have a gift bag we'd like to give you. In that gift bag is a visitor's card. It's a white card. If you fill that out, our pastors, Pastor Steve, he loves to call first-time visitors, see how you like the service, pray with you. And so we're thankful that you're here. And also, there's a teaching CD in that bag, and it has a powerful ministry. Pastor Steve has a powerful ministry for teaching, and so you will be blessed. You will be inspired. Your faith will be built. Just keep that on loop, running. You won't be disappointed. And so now we're going to talk about our four purposes that we are at Sin. Everyone should know them by heart, right? I mean, they're going to put them on the screen. It's to know God, let's say them together, know God, to find freedom, discover our purpose, and make a difference. And so we're all created in the image of God, and so we are designed to want to know those things. And the only way we can do that is to hear about the goodness of God and what is our purpose. You know how many people are searching for their purpose? It's a big deal nowadays. People are like, why am I even here? What's going on? And so every week we get a big dollop service of finding all four of these things, understanding what your purpose is, making a difference in your church, making a difference in your community, in your family. That's what we're called to do. And so I thank you all for coming today. I thank you for our online guests this morning. Thank you all for watching. And right now, if you'd like to take a time and share us on Facebook with your friends. Actually, we're going to have another service tonight. So now's the time to invite them. The ones that didn't make it this morning, they can come tonight and watch us on live stream, our Ascend app. There's lots of ways to get connected. And 6 p.m. tonight is another service. We'll talk about that later. And now my husband, Tom, I'm going to introduce him. He's coming up to take the church offering this morning.
Good morning, family. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Steve and Jill are away, but they ask us to fill in and help them out. And I like to do the tithe offering. Matthew Zamba, is that you? Hello, Matthew. Wow, good. Wow, what a great crowd we have today. Amen. Excited to see all of you. Anyway, the offering is something that, you know, you hear from Pastor Steve and Jill. Jill usually gives it, but whenever one of us from the congregation gets to get up here and share, I think we can relate to it on a different level. And so I'm blessed to be here. But as I was thinking about what I was going to share with you, it was actually a few days ago in my morning time as I was reading, God gave me a tithing scripture, a few of them. Actually, it was a whole dissertation. And then when I was asked to do this, I thought, wow, I've already got it. But I'm just so dependent upon God for my finances, and that's a good place to be. You know, if you don't put money in, how are you going to get it out? It's like a bank account in a way. You put it in, but God's got it in his account. It's in your heavenly account. So I wanted to tell you that there's a scripture. I'm going to read it from 1 Corinthians 10:12, and it says, don't be so naive about self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easy as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. We want God confidence in every area of our lives because he's there to help us. All right? We need God confidence in our finances. Now, how do you get confident in God? It's when he shows you. He says, test me, prove me. He proves himself more in finances, I think. We all have a need of finances, but God comes through every time. You've got to develop God confidence in your finances. And how do you do that? You do that by tithing. That's the first thing. It's pretty clear. We're not getting into the offerings today. Last week we had Keith Johnson here, and he talked about wealth confidence. Well, I was thinking about that. To be wealth confidence is to know you have a wealthy father, and you're confident in him that he's able to take care of everything that you have a need of. And so I got a couple notes here because my mind just, I have so many testimonies about how God's been faithful to us financially that my mind was just reeling. So I have to kind of pull it together here and stay on track. Pastor Steve said just a few minutes, but hallelujah. So when you tithe and you give unto the Lord. In Luke 6:38, it says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now, men are going to give into your bosom. We're in the earth. We have needs. We have financial needs. And God said, I'm going to cause men to give into your bosom. I'm going to cause men to give into you, whether it's your employer, whether you get money from something else, it's going to be there. God is going to make sure it's there if you're making that deposit. It's kind of, I was thinking about, you know, when you go to the ATM to get money out, you got to have money in there. Well, God's not an ATM, but when you put it in there, when you need it, you can withdraw it. It will be there, and God will see that it comes to you. Just last week, I was getting, not worried, but concerned. You know, you have a concern and you have a worry. The concern is that the area where you think, well, I'm going to need some money. Alice and I started a new business. My daughter actually started two of them. And, you know, when you start a business, it takes a lot of capital. And so I was looking at the investment before things are coming back in. It was kind of going down, and I was starting to be a little concerned that we would have enough to make it. And so I brought that concern to the Lord, and I thought, well, where do I have some money? And I knew of a patent royalty on a patent that I had, but it was a long time ago, and there was a few dollars in it. Well, when I went to check that account, it had 10 times the amount in that account. And when I was with the Lord, he just said, Tom, he said, I'm getting you over there. I'm trying to get you not to worry, to know that I'm here for you. We invested, we tithe on everything we have for years and years, but God's just, he's saying, he's given me confidence. He's given me confidence in him that he is going to be there. So when it comes to tithing, don't even think about it. Just write it out and put it in there. It's not gone. It's in your heavenly account. And when it's time to make a withdrawal for anything that you need, it will be there. You've got to do this. This is how you develop God confidence. Confidence is when you see him come through with it. And go to the 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is 13, and here it says, there's just one line in there. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. That was my scripture. That was the last song here. God just confirmed that. That's my second witness. God will never let you down, but you've got to put it in. So I'm saying, start developing your God confidence. Take it to a new level. Make sure that you tithe on every dollar, dime or 100,000 or whatever you end up. Put it in there because it will always be there, and God will make sure that when you have a need, it'll come out. He'll supply it supernaturally. He's a supernatural God. We're not talking about normal. We're not talking. You got to get out of the thinking of being normal human being. You got to think supernatural. I have a supernatural God. I'm tithing, and it will be there when it's needed. Amen? Amen. All right. So get your tithe ready or your offering, whatever you have today. We're going to have the ushers are going to begin to pass the buckets. And there's ways that you can give. Cash, credit card, check, online, mobile, or the kiosk in the lobby. Hallelujah. Just find the way that is convenient for you. God's made it easy to do that. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about today. It's a beautiful day out there. God's got a beautiful word for you today. He's an amazing God. So your pastors, Steve and Jill, have left a greeting message. They always think about you, even when they're going away. You're always on their mind. You have great pastors here. They love you, and they're always praying for you and making sure that you have the best of the best. You won't find that everywhere, but here you can count on it. Amen. So here's their video message for you.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. We are so glad that you are here today. And if you are here for the first time, let me introduce us. We are Steve and Jill Barry, and we are the pastors of this church. And as you can see, we are not here in person today.
Somebody in our church blessed us with a free cruise. And so right now, we're cruising somewhere in the Caribbean and having a little R&R. But we hate to miss service today because I know it's going to be so good. But we'll be back next Sunday. In fact, I've got a great message next Sunday. I'm going to speak about rely on God, how to come to a place in your life where you rely on God alone. You know, so often we trust and depend in ourselves. We try and solve problems by ourselves.
That's
or we look to people to encourage us and help us. But, you know, God wants you to rely on Him and Him alone. And so I really hope to see you next Sunday. And as I said, today we're so excited to have Prophet Ed Trout with us.
Oh, yes, we are.
We've known Ed for, I don't know, over 25 years. We just went, our church, we took a group to Israel in May. We had a wonderful time, and we just love Ed so much. And, you know, if you don't know Ed's story, his mother fled Germany during the Holocaust and during the Second World War, and they landed up in South Africa in Cape Town. And when he was a teenager, he gave his life to Christ. And so Ed calls himself, he's an African-American born-again Jew. Quite a combination. But Ed is really a modern-day prophet, New Testament prophet. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that God has given to the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher for the equipping and building up of the church, of God's people. And so God has given the ministry of the prophet. And there's very few people that I've seen prophesy like Ed does with such accuracy.
Absolutely.
And with such detail. It always amazes me. So we're sorry to miss today, but I know that you're going to have a really great time.
Yes,
and of course,
will.
Ed's going to be back tonight at 6 p.m. So let's stand together and let's give a warm welcome to Prophet Ed Trout this morning.
Take your seats, please. Hallelujah. It is really great to be here. People always say that, but I actually mean it. We are family. We have the same father, different mothers, but the same father. Our Heavenly Father. For those who are part of this church, we are a family. That's what a church really is, a spiritual family. And if you're looking for a place that will accommodate you or render some sort of service, it's really a family that God locks you into. And when God sends you to a family, you don't leave there until God tells you otherwise, because you can't pick your family. You're stuck with them. That's why we only have one Thanksgiving, so all we can handle a year. All right, so those who don't know me, you heard all about me. I have one wife, 43 years, and I have 3 children and 9 grandchildren. 3 of my grandchildren I'm raising. I've learned a very valuable lesson late in life. If you raise your children, you get to spoil your grandkids. But if you spoil your children, you will raise your grandkids. So parents, don't spoil the children. You must raise them. Raise them right. We've got very quiet in this place, y'all. All right. I'm reading today from the book of John, chapter 10, and verse 20, I believe it is. We are excited bunch. Take it down a notch. 22, verse 22, John 10, 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. We are supposed to be in winter. Florida doesn't know what winter really is, but we've had some really cold blasts. I've been all over this country in the last few weeks, and I've had some really amazing snow things to deal with, right down to putting chains on your wheels and such like. But it gets pretty cold in winter. And for those who have not been to Israel, in Jerusalem, it gets very cold in winter sometimes. And I've been there when it snowed, big, big snowflakes, almost the size of my hand. And it's 2,700 feet above sea level is Jerusalem. And it gets cold. Now, at this particular time, this Feast of Dedications, also known as the Feast of Light, and this is where the feast comes from. There are seven feasts named in Leviticus, but three of them are pertaining to the Passover, Pascha. The rest are all for the different feasts, which have been celebrated for thousands of years. This is a brand new feast. And says that then came the Feast of Dedication, and Jesus was there in the temple. Now, the Feast of Dedication came 180 years approximately before Christ. There was the Assyrians that took over Israel. Once again, there were so many times they were invaded and dominated by another nation, and they defiled the temple. The second king of that Assyrian who was in charge was even worse than the first one. He actually sacrificed pigs in the temple, and it angered and upset the Jews terribly. For those who don't know, the Goya that are here, understand that you have many, many synagogues all over, but only one temple. Synagogues are like churches. We have rabbis, we have someone teaching the word, and we gather together and we learn about the Lord every Shabbat. But the temple is something very different. It's direct connection with God. It's all the other churches or synagogues are like long distance, but when you go to the temple, it is a direct line to God. That's what we believe. And we turn to and look towards Israel when we pray to Jerusalem, to the temple. And it's a very holy spot of God. Are you still with me now? Stay with me. It's very important. I'm laying little foundations. You understand what you're reading today. And it was in this particular time when the Assyrians had invaded the nation that a family rose up, a man called Matthias. You may have heard of the Maccabees. And he had five sons, and they led a revolt for 2 years. Matthias lost his life, but his sons carried on the fight, and they drove the Assyrians out. And so they went to take back the temple. It was defiled and so damaged and messed up and dirty. The first thing they wanted to do was to reestablish the menorah, which is a seven candelabra with a little holders on top that keep oil in it and burn. The purpose of the menorah, seven candles or seven branches, is to indicate display the presence of God. It's got to burn 24 hours, 7 days a week, the presence of God in Israel, and has to be holy oil or sanctified oil. And of course, it's been such a rampage time with the Assyrians, where they're going to find oil. And by some miracle, they say, they found a little bit of oil and they erected this very heavy, solid gold menorah and lit it. And it was supposed to burn maybe for a couple of hours. They didn't care. But it burned 8 days without stop. Absolutely miraculous. And so the ninth day, they celebrated, of course, and you may have heard of this feast. It is called Hanukkah. So when you have Christmas time, what we're celebrating with nine-branch menorah is this Hanukkah time of the rededication of the temple and the miracle of light or dedication or this feast of dedication, dedicating the temple. So Christ himself didn't celebrate only the Levitical feast, but they came together in this feast because Jews came from all over the world to the temple. And he had a specific mandate from God to bring this new kingdom, this gospel, to the Jews first. And so that's where they would gather. These spiritual guys that are hungry for God would meet in the temple. Now, just to give you an understanding of the picture, what we're looking at, those who have been to Israel may understand what I'm talking about now, but the city of David is south of the temple. It's a little lower physically. It's a whole fortress, and that's where David had his palace inside there. And he always wrote in Psalms, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord," because it was higher to send church. We had to send to the house of the Lord. And when you go from the south side, you will find a long rows of stairs going up. And it's all a part of the process. In the beginning, you'd find these mikvah, which are baptismal fonts, which was a cleansing process. You pay your tax and go down the stairs and come up the other side. There's a wall that separates, and it's a symbol of being cleansed to go up the temple. You go up to the temple, and then you will go. There are five arches to go through, three to go in, two to come out. And as you go through, the very first thing on this big platform, because this temple was built by Herod. It was a whole dynasty of Herods. This particular Herod was a master builder. And he wanted to raise this second temple era up to a very high place that all could see it. And there's seven mountains, they call it, but they're more like hills in Jerusalem. And this particular Zion, we wanted to raise it higher, so he built a platform called the Temple Mount. Today, we know on the Temple Mount, we have the mosque that stands there at the moment. And so this whole court, this whole big flat piece housed the whole temple, which had an outer court, inner court, and then, of course, the actual temple. But the platform around it on top was called the Court of the Gentiles. And so if you come up those stairs, the first thing you see is a long row of arches called the Solomon's Colonnade. Now that I've said this, then came the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's Colonnade. Now you know what I'm talking about. The Jews gathered around him, the Jews, not just the Gentiles, the Jews. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Why were they saying that? I know you've read this several times. I'm going to make it clear to you that because now again they've got another oppressor, the Assyrians are gone, now we've got the Romans, which are much bigger and more powerful than any Assyrian could ever be, because Roman had taken over the entire Mediterranean area and become a force. And so big they were that Herod built an entire city in Caesarea, a magnificent place to try and please Caesar. And of course, that's where there was a whole city down there at the coast and a harbor. And this particular time with this Roman dominance, they were praying and the learned. Now, I want you to understand, just like you have the Vatican and the Pope, so the Jews have rabbis in all the synagogues, but there is a hierarchy right in the temple called the Sanhedrin. And they have priests, and then they have high priests, a high priest like the Pope. He's the top dog. They have their own police, their own army, they have their own laws and ways of doing things, and they're our entity all by themselves. So we had three governments in the time of Jesus. We had the temple government, we had the Herod and the king that they asked for, and we had the Romans dominating them, and they had to pay tax and all tithe and taxes by to all of them. Now, they were praying for God to deliver them, and so the old learned teachers began to read and find out there was scriptures about a Messiah coming. And they began to put it together and get excited that there was a Messiah, someone to come and save them. And it would be, he would have been noted by with lots of miracles. Now, John the Baptist came and he preached and really caused a fire throughout Israel, full of revival and baptizing, but there was no miracles with him. So the Messiah would have miracles, and Jesus is not saying he's the Messiah. Well, the Messiah they were looking for is someone to lead the people and drive out all the other nations that don't belong there and become a pure people to God again. That's what they're looking for. So the Jews said, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Now I've said all this, listen carefully. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep. It's a very interesting thing that people... How do you become God's sheep? Jesus said to the ones that left him when he told him he's the Messiah, he said, you cannot come to me unless the Father sent you. Many are called, but few are sent. And I've come to believe in my heart that even though everyone has a chance to be born again, they're all called, only few, you know, will make it. It's those that are prayed for. Everyone that's born again can identify one person at least that was sincerely saved and prayed sincerely for them to get saved. If that be true, then we ought to be responsible to pray for the people around us that God puts in our heart to really do intercession and warfare for, that they can be saved. Many are called, few are chosen. For them to be chosen, we've got to pray them through. Please take your excitement down to another level. It's way overwhelming here for me. It's my Jewish humor. Sorry. Okay, so Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice." They want to hear what he's got to say. "I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, no one can snatch you when you once you're born again out of God's hand, but you are free to leave. And people often do. People often get born again and don't maintain their relationship with the Lord. They become disconnected. And the devil is out to get you. You are God's prize possession. Please understand, God made billions of angelic beings to serve him in different levels of power. They all had all kinds of giftings and could move through space and time. A third rebelled and a lake of fire is waiting for them. And they, not one of them were worth saving. Not one angel was worth redeeming. And they only sinned once. You've sinned more than once this week, and you have been redeemed. The difference is, for the first time in creation, God did something different. He didn't make another angelic being. He took his own DNA for the first time and reproduced himself. Yeah, wait, wait. And not to have give us too much liberty, too much, too quickly, he put us in a carbon-made body for a temporary situation to give us time and opportunity to get to know him and choose him. In the garden, there's were many trees. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was forbidden, and rightly so, because they were very knowledgeable. They could run the entire planet, but the knowledge that God kept from them was would pollute the relationship that was so ongoing and needed. The first thing that Adam and Eve discovered when they got the tree of knowledge of good and evil into them is that they were naked, and it helped nothing. It just caused disruption. I'm now much older than I was yesterday and the day before and the year before, and I can tell you honestly that the less I know, the happier I am. Ignorance is truly bliss for me. I wish I could unhear things I've heard even my children tell me. When I was younger, I wanted to know everything. I was curious, but now I'm not. People say, "Can I tell you something in confidence?" Rather not. Thank you so much. The less I know, the happier I am. I'm totally, now you laugh, but I'm content not knowing. I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I'd rather be naive. I'd rather be ignorant because I'm happy and full of joy. Do you understand? That knowledge just messes me up, and the devil wants to mess you up with that knowledge. That was the whole purpose, to disrupt that relationship with God, because God made you with his image, in his image, to have fellowship. Every day he came in the cool of the day because of this body we were in. Not because God needed to, but because the body and wanted patiently to develop a relationship with you. And it's as much as you will go get near to him, he'll get near to you. He wants to fellowship with you. In this room, there are people that chase anything for happiness. Even our constitution says the pursuit of happiness. And the truth is, there's only one thing that really makes content. Paul said, I've learned the secret to contentment. There's been a secret because people just didn't get it. The secret to contentment, I can learn to base and abound. I can learn to be in any condition. His joy, his happiness was not found in a husband or a wife or a child or a job or a money or a car. It was founded in him. And you all say amen. You all say amen, but I'm not sure how many really believe that in their heart of hearts, because you have things that are troubling you and yearning for. I hear my brother Tom teaching about tithing and giving to God, and money's always an issue. People always clam up when you talk about tithe. But I came here with nothing. I was completely naked. And when I leave, that's how I'm leaving. The stuff was here and will still be here. And yet the stuff changes your life, your mind, makes you behave differently. And when really, it's just all God has supplied for you. He's never let you down. He'll always make a way for you. Are you hearing me? And he's always testing our heart. Money, giving to God is the bottom of the food chain of obedience. If you can't obey God in giving, if it's a real bother to you, you'll have a hard time listening to God in any other front, because he gave you bread to eat and seed to sow. He gave you your tithe. He gave it to you to tithe. How hard is that? But in America, we've been under violent attack, and one of the areas of attack was the finances. Stop the church being so generous. And what he did was he sent every one of us credit cards in the mail we didn't ask for. You know that's true. You laugh, but you've got to show me one other country where that happens. Nowhere in the world do people get credit cards in the mail they didn't ask for. They have to apply, they have to qualify. They send you cards, and if you destroy it, they send you another one, until you take a little sticker off and start spending money you don't have on things you didn't need, and you thought you're going to pay your credit card, and years later, you're still servicing a high interest rate credit card. And then you wonder how you're going to tithe, because you're giving it to the credit card company. It's just one of the snares, just one of the snares. If I can destroy a marriage, a family, I can develop two homes. I can build all these apartments, and I have to carry two homes. It's going to drain the economy. You got quiet in this place. Doesn't help if God wants to bless you financially if you're a bad steward. God wants to bless you, but if you're foolish with money, why would he keep giving it to you? Do you understand? God wants to prosper you. Money's not an issue to God. He's got so much of it, doesn't care. But if it's going to keep you from him, it's going to be difficult for you. So you've got to show him that you're not attached to it. Yeah. And let me tell you, tithing and offerings are not obligation. They're something very holy and precious to the Lord. Holy, it's like an act of worship, like showing God how much you really care. You know, when we love someone, we buy them gifts. We want to just bless them. We want to do something special for them, right? Just to express our love. Well, that's what you do when you bring offerings. And God watches, because he's sitting at the back of a temple, the Lord Jesus, and he sees them bringing the offerings, and he sees them bringing money, lots of money. And this one widow gives all she had. It was the sacrifice that he was excited about. It was, if you just give what you can afford, you've done nothing more than the world. And if my talking on tithing and offering is bothering you, I don't care. Because you're not going to give anyway. But those of you that want to hear what I'm saying is going to create faith inside of you. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't want to reach God face to face and God says, I told you to give. What happened to your tithing? Well, I didn't believe in it. I don't like tithing. I don't like offerings. I keep going. All they want is money. No, all they want is your heart. Because I can look where in your checkbook and I can see where your heart is. Where all your money's going, whether it's your hobbies, your children, whether it's whatever you do spend money on, that's where your treasure is. Now you're quiet. Okay, so I got off the track. Back to my teaching. Sorry about that. I want to help you because I really care. I've got nothing invested. I'm too old to be concerned what you think of me afterwards. I want to do what's right. I want to finish my race well. I'm teaching you the word of God. And I'm not playing games. When Jesus said, the Father and I are one, the next scripture says, and again the Jews picked up stones to stone him. That's kind of tough. They ask, are you the Messiah? They acknowledge he's got miracles, and now they want to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I've shown you so many great miracles from the Father. For which of these miracles are you stoning me? We are not stoning you for any of these, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. So you don't like what I'm saying, but you can't deny the miracles. The evidence is there, but you don't like what I'm saying. It's a funny thing, this religious spirit. It's a funny thing how we get locked into a mindset of what we think God is. I mean, Aaron tells Moses, you go up in the mountain, people are scared of this whole shaking mountain, God, glory thing. And while he's gone, they build a golden calf. What brain-damaged person thinks that they can build something, worship them, when you just saw and experienced God's presence, you'd rather have something you made. And that's what we do. We get saved and then we start building a religion around it, or build a whole doctrine around it. And it's not. It's a faith relationship with God. You individually, that's why we need each other. Family, to be healthy spiritually, you need to be part of a spiritual family. He said he'd build his church. That's what he said. If you're not part of a family, you will become anemic spiritually. You will be Christian, but it'll begin to leak and you become weak and easily vulnerable to the enemy. You need your spiritual family. You may not like them. Some of them may get on your last nerve, and God loves that. He loves a little fighting and arguments in the church. He loves it. And you think I'm joking? 1 Corinthians 11:19 says there must be fighting amongst you, that they that are approved of God can be seen. When two people fight, hello, somebody. All right, there we go. So when you watch a couple arguing, they don't care about anything but to show that I'm right. Nothing diffuses the argument than saying, you're right. What? And they don't want else to argue about. But when in the kingdom of God there's an altercation, God's watching. It says there must be factions amongst you that they that are approved of God can be seen. Because when you're approved of God, you'd rather be reconciled than right. You don't want to prove you're right, and we don't care. You just want to be reconciled, and in fact, you'll take the blame. It's not even yours. You don't care. Yeah, it's my fault. No, I'm the one. No, you're right. That's the spirit of Christ. He took blame that wasn't his. Christianity is exactly different to all the principles of the world. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, Jesus said. But I tell you, when he slaps you, turn your cheek. The principles laid down before are different to the kingdom principles that God has given us. If you love only those that love you, he said, you've done nothing more than the world. We have to love those that despitefully misuse us and do wrong. You try and love an enemy. Try. You can put up with it, but to love them, to bless them, boy, it takes only the grace of God inside of us. That's the true gospel. Here you are sitting looking for a word because you just want a word about your child or about your finances. You're worried about your little life. And when you finish this problem, you'll go to the next and go to the next. And it's all about me, all about me. You've missed some of the wonderful things that are majestic in the kingdom of God. Be laying down your life, serving him, the joy and the deep satisfaction of loving God and doing things that please him and touching other people's lives. That's the gospel. Yeah. All right. Now they want to stone him. And he says, which of these miracles? And they're upset because they don't like what he's saying. Now, he's so smart. He was only 12 when he was teaching in the temple, in the hierarchy. He wasn't teaching in a synagogue only. He was teaching in the temple. Now, for those Goya that are here, you don't understand. Boys are not allowed to talk in the church until they're 13. Bar mitzvah. First time you get to, I love bar mitzvahs because they have to sing from the scriptures, and their voice usually breaks when they're 13. So it's Baruch Natal. It's so funny. You should enjoy it. The food's good, though. Okay. All right. So we're not stoning for these. So Jesus answered them. It's not written in your law. And he's now speaking to them in their legalistic way. I've said you are gods, and he's quoting scripture. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, because now he's appealing to their religiosity that cling to, people sometimes cling to the writing more than they cling to the writer. I love the word of God. I love God's, I'm fanatical about God's word, but I love him 10 times more. I'm more concerned about him than about what I read. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's him that saved me. Take it down, guys. You're too excited again. But for, where was I? Okay, so what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own? That's me. And sent into the world. Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I'm God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. In verse 38, but if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know that and understand the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again, they try to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Again, they try to seize him, and he escaped. How did he escape? Well, the thing of it is that nobody takes his life from him. He said, I lay my life down. No one takes it from me. Now listen to me carefully. I'm going to teach you a very important principle. So when it was time, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the time had come. When they came looking for him, he didn't try and escape. He said, I'm here. I'm the one you're looking for. It was his time. So there were threats for his life. They tried to kill him several times. In your life, there are many things that come against you, and you must understand the timing of your life. Understand the timing and where you are in God's ecology. Understand also that Pilate said to Jesus, speak up. Don't you know I have the power of life and death over you? Jesus said, you have nothing except the Father give it to you. There is a mighty God in control. No matter what it looks like to you and what you're going through, you've got to read it right. You read where your life is, your timing, and what's really going on. Because we so quickly react to the attacks or people's response or things that we're going through, when in fact, if we have a relationship with him and walk intimately, we understand God's ways. We understand God's purpose for our lives. Every one of you in this room have a purpose in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want you to miss God's purpose. I want you to fulfill it. You only get one chance in this life. It goes by just like that. So don't waste one day. Don't waste one day. Don't have regrets when you finish your life. Do it right now. Take a chance and lean to the right side. Much more. If you're going to make a mistake, make it on the right side. Are you hearing me? Yeah. I've got so much more I want to teach. I'm not going to make it all the time. Okay. So verse 40 says, then Jesus went back to across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed. And many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. So I want you to picture the scene. Here we have Jerusalem, 2,700 feet above sea level. To go down to the Jordan, you've got to drop, it's 1,300 feet below sea level. So he's going to drop 4,000, some more than 4,000 feet and drop in altitude. It's about an eight-hour walk. Maybe a little less going down, but you go through the old gorge that goes through to Jericho, Jericho Road, and you walk down, and that's what happened. He went to go there. It's much warmer, and he's out of the view or out of the reach of these Pharisees and these Jews up at the temple. They'll leave him alone. He's down there, but many followed, and he was preaching and baptizing and bringing them to the kingdom. It was a good time. Meanwhile, this is what I'm building up to tell you. Meanwhile, in the town right next to Jerusalem, not even 2 miles from it, a little place called Bethany. Verse says one, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. They were very well known and famous. They did a lot of high profile things. This is a family that are wealthy. They live very close to Jerusalem and a place that Jesus based him and his men out of. He's following out because it was so close to the temple, not even 2 miles. So if you come out of the east gate, gate beautiful of the eastern wall of the Jerusalem, you go down the Kidron Valley and right into the Garden of Gethsemane where Christ was, up down up to the Olive Mount, Mount Olive, and then you go a little further and you're right in Bethany. That's how close it is, not even an hour's walk. Very close. So now, that's where this is happening, and he's already left. He was there, but he went down to the Jordan, which is another 8 hours away. So now this family were not the regular people. They were close to him. This is what happens. Now you stay with me. So I'm laying this for a purpose. This is where the thing really comes now. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus in verse 3, Lord, the one you love is sick. This is not someone you just met once. When he heard this, he said, the sickness will not, this is what the Lord said, in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified in it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So he loved them all. They were close to him. You know, when you are needy and you pray to God, you're so thankful when he helps you, when you don't really know him, and you make all these deals with God. If you'll help me, I'll serve, I'll do all those things. You make the deals with God, and people don't realize that God's going to hold you to it. Because he's a covenant-keeping God. And he makes you keep covenant. Right? So this is not an ordinary family. And when you get born again, you start having faith in God. And you start expecting God to answer your prayers. And the longer you walk with the Lord, there comes a more of a demand, almost expecting God must do it, because now you're not just an ordinary guy. You've been serving God all your life. This family had the same expectancy because they were close to him. They saw him heal. They saw him do miracle after miracle. It was a common thing. So we're your friends. Come on, you got to help us. So they sent word down to where he was at the Jordan, and Jesus loved Martha and Mary and sister and Lazarus, but it says there, yet, when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed there two more days. He wasn't in a hurry to go help him. Isn't that a bummer? Isn't that just awful when you need God to help you? He's just not in a hurry. You may feel like your life's coming to an end today, and you better do something right now, God. And God's, I'm coming. It's okay. How about now? You know, the Lord does the strangest things. He tells them, let's go to the other side. And then he gets in the boat and he takes a nap. The other side of the lake in the afternoon, anybody that's been with me to Israel, no, we only go in the mornings on the lake because it's always windy in the afternoons. And sometimes it gets so bad, those little boats couldn't handle it. And that's what happened. They were in a nasty storm and they were fearful for their lives. And they wake him. Did he know there's going to be a storm? Yeah. Often in your life, you have go through a storm and you think you really messed up or did something wrong. That's why you get in the storm. Or the devil's attacking. You never think you're in the storm because the Lord led you there. That was part of your journey. He said, we're going to the other side. There's a storm on its way there. And you think the Lord's going to help you, but he took a nap. He didn't leave. He said he'll never leave or forsake you, but he's not helping much. He's there, but not doing anything. And God's with you in your life, but he's not helping you right now. That's awful. What kind of God does that? Because he's watching. And when he calms the storm, he says to them, do you still have no faith? Because he wants them to function in what he's been teaching them. What do you want faith for if you can't use it? What do you want faith for if everything is going your way? You need trouble. You need a storm. You need something to get your faith going. You don't like what I'm saying. I know it. So, now what happens is, Jesus loved Martha and Mary, and says, and then to stay there two more days, and then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? So they're aware of the trouble and the danger. Jesus answered, and he tells them a little parable, and a story, and it's a wonderful teaching. I haven't got time to teach that to you now, so I'm going to skip over that one. And after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Jesus had been talking about his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. What? What? You did not say that. You glad he suffered and died and everyone's crying and mourning and grieving? And you, what kind of savior are you? How many times in your life you go through a crisis and God's going, I'm so glad you're going through this. What? Because he says, this is what he says, I'm glad for your sake I was not there, so that you may believe. You're far more believing and far more dependent upon him when you go through a crisis and suffer and struggle. You appreciate so much more when God intervenes. When everything goes your way, you don't. That's why it's not always good to rescue our children. The prodigal son loved, his father loved his son so much he didn't go and get him. Waited for him on his porch, waiting, looking in the right direction, waiting for him to come, but he wasn't going to go and get him. And it was tough. It wasn't easy. Good parenting is painful. You want to help them. It's too easy to help them. You're prolonging their suffering. They've got to learn. The Bible said when this prodigal son came to his senses, it said no one gave him anything, and he came to his senses. While someone's helping and giving, they don't come to the senses. All right, now listen. So Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so we may believe that let us go to him. Then verse 16, then Thomas. Now everyone knows Thomas was a doubter, right? But Thomas is like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Oh, he's such a whiny negative. One of the 12 disciples, whiny, whiny, whiny. Listen to what he says. This is Thomas. He says, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Really, Thomas? That's what you think, we're going to die? How? What a wonderful encourager you are. That's Thomas. See, God picks who he picks. He picked you. God picked you with all your struggles. He picked you. Amen. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Yes, now, Jesus gets to Jerusalem. It takes about 8 hours to get there. So he's on his way there. And he comes. Then he finds he's been dead 4 days already. He's gone. He's dead. And Martha runs out to meet him. And she says, "You should have been here." Often we feel that way, don't we? How can you allow this to happen to me, God? Why didn't you stop me? Let me leave 5 minutes later. How can you let me marry that idiot? Look what I went through. I asked you to stop me if it wasn't your will. You got quiet in this place. You were praying about the car. I wanted to know if it's the right car for me. And I look at the trouble I'm having. We want everything. We think when God says something, it must all be easy. We always think that God's here to make our life easier. God's giving you what you need. The husband or wife you have is what you need, not what you want. He supplies your needs. He knows what you need to get you where you're going to. It's not a game. You're not going to be married in heaven. This whole journey, if you can't stand your husband or wife and they can't stand you, you've got to die. You've got to die to your little self. In America, we're very quick to change relationship very quickly. We're quick to run to the next church or run to the next job. We'll quickly run from stuff. But what we needed is to iron sharpening iron. We need to have things to help change us inside that become more like him. You don't feel the pain if you're dead, if you're dead in Christ. Come on now. Yeah. You've got to become dependent upon him and devoted to him. It's the best and happiest place in the world. Disney is not the happiest place on earth. Being in him is the happiest place on earth. And so with Martha, she runs to meet him. "You should have been here. My brother would not have died." Then she says, "But now, even now, I believe if you pray, God hears you." What you saying, girl? Say it again. "But even now, I know that if you pray, God hears you." You know your brother will rise again. "Yeah, I know. On that day, resurrection day, he'll rise." "No, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." "Do you believe this?" "Yes, I believe that you are the Messiah. You're the Son of God." When she says this, she's saying the same as Peter when he got excited about that. It's a real revelation for any Jew to acknowledge that he's the Son of God. Because you've been praying for thousands of years, "Here in Israel, the Lord your God is one God," and now suddenly he had a son. From Nazareth, no less. It's even to this day a nobody, nothing city. It's just nothing there. So this is an incredible thing for her to say, "You're the Son of God." And he's so excited about it, he sits down. He's on his way to heal Lazarus. It's really late. It's really too late already, but he sits down. "Could call your sister. Let's see what she's learned." And when she gets there, "You should have been. My brother wouldn't have died." But there's no room for a miracle. So his response is different. The Bible says he was troubled in his spirit. Not for Lazarus. He would have raised him already. It's for her because she'd been to church every Sunday and she'd learned nothing. And you get these other guys, they're up and down, they're out of church, they mess up, they make mistakes, they come back and they bring people with them and they keep. It's how you finish, not how you start. And so wherever you've been, whatever mistakes you've made, God's not stressed by your mistakes. Even the righteous fall 7 times. And you have 2 positions as a Christian, getting up or standing up, never laying down. Don't you lay down and feel sorry for yourself. Get up and serve God. Yeah, you made a mistake. Doesn't make a difference. If I must forgive my brother 7 times 7, you can expect God to do the same for you. He forgives you. If you confess your fault, he forgives you. But get up and leave it and move away from it and do your best to get out of that, because God will deliver you if you keep headed in the right direction. If you submit to God and resist the devil, he must flee. Are you hearing me? Now, why I'm telling you all this is when Martha and Mary were so frustrated with him because he should have come, and he didn't. He could have because it was close to them. He had the power. He wasn't in a hurry, not at all, because there was so much going on. He had to wait for God's timing because they were still trying to kill him in Jerusalem, just a few miles away, very close by. In our lives, God wants to do miracles for us, and we don't know why he doesn't move faster or do something right now. Why is God taking so long? But there's a much bigger program in motion than we can see. It's not always about me and what I want. It's It's a much bigger plan, and we have to trust him. If I knew what God knew, I wouldn't need to trust him. It's because I don't know that I have to trust him. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you can trust him. You can trust him. He will not fail you, but you must give complete control to him. Now, many of you in this room are born again, but it's my troubled heart that tells me often that people haven't given their lives to him. And what that means is while you're still making your own decisions, your life's not his. If God cannot say what he wants to say or lead you where he wants to lead you, he's not completely the boss. People make decisions and do things all the time. Get jobs, get new cars, get married, get have babies, and they don't even ask God. He's not really in control. My life is yours, Lord. No, no, it's not. I've given you eternal life, but you're still not mine yet. And so I'm asking you this morning to make sure that your life belongs to him. It's the happiest place on earth. All right. Your clock is 2 seconds behind. What does that mean? Okay. I'm not sure what that means. Can you, I don't know what that means. Can you put the little lights up so I can see, because and lock those doors that nobody leave? This is the fun part. All right. Yeah, a little more light. There we go. There we go. You guys are good. I love the screen, you guys. It's an outstanding job. It's a nice looking church, right? You need to invite your friends. Invite your friends. A lot of people are unchurched here in Florida. They're kind of burnt up with Christians that are messed up. Pastor, it is. It's true. You know, when I got saved, they warned me about the devil, and they warned me about the world, but no one warned me about Christians. Because my expectancy was that they wouldn't do anything wrong, but none of us, we weren't saved because we were good, but you'll find reality and safety here. Because I know Pastor Steve for a long time, and his wife, and they're not perfect. They're human like you and I, but they devoted to God. And so you're safe. You're safe here. And this is a wonderful season. It's only going to get better from here on out. I warn you that there'll come a time when you'll have a hard time finding a seat.
Amen.
We'll have multiple services Amen. Very soon. Go, Jesus. Woohoo. All right, so I'm going to pick a few people. Be nervous, be very nervous. Not. What's your name with the checkered shirt and next to the pillar? Nathan, and this is your wife next to you?
My sister.
Your sister. Are you married, Nathan?
Yes, sir.
Do you know who to?
Jennifer.
Where is she?
She is at work today.
On a Sunday working. What does she do?
She's a pharmacist.
She sells drugs?
Yes, sir.
What do you do?
I'm a music teacher.
Uh-huh. Do you come to this church?
No, I go to a church in Port St. Lucie. We're visiting today.
Where's that?
Church in Port St. Lucie.
Well, I'm glad you're here today, and I'm very grateful to the Lord for you, because you've got an upright heart. You've got a heart devoted to the Lord. You're really a remarkable man in more ways than one, and I appreciate your integrity, and God has heard your prayers. Just take one step at a time. You want to plan ahead. You love to have things laid out, the whole journey, and God says only one step. Take the first step, and the next step will be visible. I'm not going to lay it out for you, so you must just trust me each step of the way. I've brought you this far. I've never let you down before. I won't let you down now. There's a lot of changes coming. There is a moving. There is a lot of changes coming, but not this moment. And things, God is step by step. You take each step, and God will unfold it for you, no doubt about it. So you're a music teacher, but you have more than that inside of you. You're a tremendous coach. You coach people. You have a incredible shepherd's heart, and you're like a father to people you don't want to be a father to, but they are. They cling to you because you have something inside of you that's so wholesome that God can use for his glory. You are prophetic. You're not crazy. You do hear God. There's no question. You have a pretty giftings. You might need a little coaching to keep it healthy and keep it in line with the word of God, because you haven't always got someone to input into your life, so you might need some of that, but you're very gifted. And your sister, what is your name, ma'am?
Nicole.
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 Are you married?
Yes.
What's his name?
Danny.
Danny. And how many kids do you and Danny have?
We have none, but I have one.
We have none together, but okay, you have one of your own.
Yes.
All right. You're quite a remarkable lady, and what happened to you wasn't really your fault. You know, you went through a strange valley in your life, and it wasn't your doing. You didn't always make the best decisions. You were driven by the wrong motives, need in your own heart. But God is making everything work together for good. What makes you so priceless to the kingdom is that you're really unselfish. You care about other people and you listen. You're a listener. You pay attention when people talk, whether they're young, old, you pay attention and you become a real helper to the Lord. As a sign of God's great favor, when you leave this building today, there's something that's been bothersome in your body that needs healing. When you leave here, the symptom will leave completely and you'll be completely healed as a sign to you. Because he's still the healer. He's still the healer. Yes, indeed. Good God, bad devil. What's your name with the blue shirt in front of me? David. And this is Bathsheba?
Absolutely.
Absolutely? You go, girl. What's your name?
Deborah.
Deborah, close enough. Okay. And how many children do you guys have?
Six.
Is it a blended family?
Yes.
It is.
All right. So I couldn't imagine you just churning those six kids out one after another. A lot of work. Yep. Yep, I love children, but I love grandkids much more. They're more fun. You got grandkids?
We do, one.
Oh, yeah. I really liked them a lot more before I became the ATM. You know, they've heard of El Shaddai, but they think I'm El Shaddai Grandpa. That's how it is. So, what do you do for a living?
I'm an analytics officer.
An analytics officer. What is that? Do you know?
I analyze operational data for an engineering firm.
Okay, now I know too. See, it wasn't hard to tell us that. I love your heart. I love your spirit. Are you in this church?
Yes.
Because you're a good man. The word of the Lord for you is leave behind you what's behind you. Do not measure your future from where you were. Because you'll be burned by church politics and stuff and where you've been. And you just don't like control. You're very patient. You've got a long tolerance level, and it's a longevity of being faithful, but you need to shake it off. And the devil keeps trying to put a little bit of guilt on you, make you feel, no, that's a lot of nonsense. You're doing really well. God's pleased with you. His favor's upon your life. It's that simple. There's a lot of mega changes coming this year in your company where you are. Some of it's upgrade, some of it's downgrade. So don't be stressed, but it's all part of the plan. It was always part of the plan for God and for them. They've got some things rearranging, and it's going to affect you in one way. It's going to promote, bless, open up doors for you, but you hit a ceiling because someone's just made it difficult for you to go any further, and they just make your life a little difficult, and you're trying to bite your lip. But God has got you there for a reason. You bring the presence and the glory of God in there. You know the ways of the Lord. You're a faithful heart and a faithful father. You're trying to carry the load and fix everything. It's not your job to fix everything. It's your job to hear from God and do what he tells you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. You can't please everybody, even your own kids. You've got some really difficult ones that are trying to just make life a little difficult. You turn them loose to God. They're his kids too. He wants to fix their wagons, let me tell you. He's busy doing some stuff. Turn it loose. As for you, ma'am, you're a delight to the Lord. You're a thinker. You think a lot and you meditate and weigh up things all the time. You've got a heart for God. People have died in the family out of season, out of time, and God wants me to reassure you that he has cemented your longevity in life on this earth for a long time with health and strength. He's promised that to you. A lot of changes are coming in your career, your job, your future, that you have things to do. You're a communicator, a teacher, and no one can stop you. You've got a tremendous patience. You don't give up. You don't react. You just keep going, and the righteous always triumph, always, and God's going to watch over you. You're impacting lives everywhere you go with the Christianity in your life, the strong walk of the Lord. God is for you. He's on your side. There's a new vehicle that God wants to release. You're kind of humming and hawing, but just jump at it because God himself wants to do it for you. And Christ himself didn't drive a used car, only a brand new donkey. It was so new, it smelled like leather. What's your name? Debbie. Is it a Debbie or a Deborah now? What is it? Who's the fellow next to you?
Debbie.
Who's the fellow next to you?
Bruce.
Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty.
Are you married?
Yes.
How long have you been married?
8 years.
All right. And how many children do you have?
I have 4 from before, and he has 2.
Also 6. You're not the only one, see? All right. So, Deborah, you're got a real heart to serve and do. People misread your zeal or your willingness to bless for control. People have accused you of being controlling or pushy, but it's not so. You've got a real heart to help and do, and God salutes and honors you for it. Why are you bumping him?
Because he's the one who thinks I control.
But God honors you for your generosity of heart to serve and do. Nothing's too much trouble and you'll do it. You're just a little too vocal sometimes. We don't have to wonder what you're thinking. You're going to tell us way too quickly. God's giving you wisdom how to put a watch in front of your mouth to be careful, because people take those words and they run and they beat you up with it. And you've got to be wise. Be wise. You've got a wonderful heart. Your heart, there's not a lick of meanness in you. You've got a generous spirit and God salutes and honors you for it. You really have a wonderful heart. God will deny you nothing because you have a heart for him. You know how to pray and intercede, but you need to pray his prayers. They're far more effective than praying what you really feel burdened with. Let him show you what to pray and how to pray, and God will bless it. It's that easy. You're right where God wants you, in the middle of God's will. He's affirming and confirming his purpose and pleasure with you where you are. Amen.
Amen.
And so, Bruce Thank Almighty, what do?
I'm a fisherman.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Leave those nets, I'll make you a fisher of men.
Ooh.
So do you fish, really fish? You have a charter boat or what?
I'm commercial. I feed people.
You feed people, okay. Out there in the Gulf, right?
Atlantic.
You go to the Atlantic? Oh, yeah, that would be Atlantic, right. That's right. I'm a bit confused. That's right. You're right. You're right. All right. The triangle, that way. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So, where's your mom and dad? They've gone to be the Lord or what?
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
There's a deposit that came from them that was a blessing, because they knew how to touch heaven. And there is a record in the book of remembrance concerning your life of God's blessing. And that's why you are where you are and why God's blessed you the way he has, despite every obstacle you've had, because of their prayers. And God will not forsake the righteous and all the things that they've done. You've been accused falsely in your life. You try to do all of them right. You can be stubborn now. Lord, you got that smile, but they don't know in this church how stubborn you can be. Yeah, but you also have the determination. It's not just stubbornness. The other side of that coin is you'll finish what you start and you'll do what you said, no matter what happens, and God is pleased with that. You're a real dad in the house, and you're loved by a lot of people, and you always say the right thing at the right time, and you're a blessing to, please understand, you've got great value in the church. Gloria a Dios. What's your name with a haircut?
Prudencio. Prudencio.
Prudencio. How old are you?
I don't know. 47.
How old?
47.
Wow, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Where's your wife?
I don't have a wife. Well,
just point and click. You have children?
No.
Okay, well, we've got to fix that now. Let me see what I can do here. If you're interested, raise your hand. But you have to be not married. Am I embarrassing you? I was trying so hard. What do you do for a living?
I do landscaping.
Landscaping.
Yes.
You should have been dead. The devil thought he could destroy you and make you take away your very zeal for life. You had a really hard struggle. No one knows in this room, and you don't want to talk about it, but from your own childhood, there was horrible abuse. Things that happened to you that should never have happened. You were a victim. You didn't cause it. You didn't do it. And it scarred your soul, but the Lord has healed you remarkably. And what the enemy meant for evil, God's using for good, because you have a compassion and a patience and a kindness towards other people that nobody else wants. And you're going to have a ministry to the rejected and down and out are going to come here, and you're going to help them back on their feet. Because you have that inside of you. You've got a lot of tenderness and love. That's the meaning of your life. You asked God, what am I born for? Why did you even let me live? Why? And that's the reason. You're only coming into your own purpose and plan now. So please don't go back to where you come from. Lose all the friends that keep trying to call you. Lose them, because bad company will corrupt the good character. God's giving you a whole lot of new family and new friends. He wants to bless your life. Do you understand? You have music inside of you that you let go, and you need to wake it up again and then let it flow through your life, because he anointed you and he wants to use it for his glory. You got it? Dude, thank like you. Totally.
Hallelujah. Thanks.
Gloria a Dios. Mas Espíritu Santo. Yeah. Are we excited yet? Yeah. I'm looking for sinners now. Oh, too many. Too many. I'm so bad. What's your name? Stacy. Are you in this church, Stacy?
Yes.
Are you recording on your phone? Because yes. We charge extra for that.
That's fine. I'll pay for it.
I'm Jewish. You know why God made Gentiles, right? Somebody had to pay retail. So you married Stacy?
No.
Would you like to be?
Yes.
Stacy, you're very strong. People confuse that with controlling, because you're not controlling, it's just that you're very strong, you know what you want. But we think people have broken our hearts. But if people don't break our hearts, people harden our hearts. And through several situations, you've hardened each time. And God wants to undo that. Because the sweet, happy girl that used to laugh and sing and make jokes has gone. And God wants that back again. He wants that sweet girl back. You say, well, I'm not going to let people hurt me again. You can't stop that. He didn't promise you a pain-free life. He promised you a healed one. Mm-hmm. And he'll be your protector if you let him lead you. Now, it is so that sometimes you've run into things that God has tried to stop you. You ran, you got all excited, but you're very strong-willed. I don't know if you know that. You're very strong-willed. Yeah. Your strong will is a good thing and a bad thing. Strong will help you to lead because you are a natural leader. It's very natural for you. But your strong will also made you so set that you did things that you shouldn't have done that hurt you and decisions you made, but you were determined to do it this way. But your life's not over. This is a new chapter, and God wants to start a whole new thing. And so the first step you have to make is, and it sounds very odd to you, have to really forgive, go down a whole list of forgiveness because you have been burned by several people on every level, from family to relationships to friends. You've been burned and burned and burned and burned. In fact, some of your closest friends, one closest person to you, you thought to one person you could trust. I'm here to tell you, don't you trust anyone. Not one scripture says trust anybody. It says trust God. Love people, trust God. Do you understand? So what it does, it changes your expectancy. You don't expect them not to do something. You just do expectancies in God. God, whatever's going to happen, God's going to take care of you. That's your expectancy. But God's got a purpose and plan. He's restoring to you your success in the natural. Because you lost everything. Dropped. So much stuff happened. And there's been accusations and a real fight against you. God's restoring wealth to you. That's God wants to really store wealth to you, serious wealth. But he wants to first fix your heart. So you've got to forgive from your heart. And the second thing, you have to train yourself to do what he says. Because sometimes you run ahead of God because you've got a strong will. Mm-hmm. And God's not stressed. God's not threatened by it. He just wants to teach you to use the will correctly for his purpose and plan. And then the third thing, he's going to reconcile and rebuild some relationships that have been burned that you thought you'll never talk to them again. You just had enough. That's over. That was behind you. And God wants to reconcile for their sakes, not for yours, but for theirs. And you can do this. You're much stronger than you think you are. And the Lord is your strength. The Lord is your strength. This is a brand new chapter of your life. It's very important how careful you do each step now. That the God can give you great success. Right? But great wealth is coming to you. Great wealth. Amen. In business. All that you lost, multiplied by at least 10 to 100. And you'll see what God will do.
Amen.
Yeah, and verily I say unto thee. Woohoo! Looking for sinners. I'll be back tonight at, what time is it tonight? 6. So I'll be prophesying. I was allowed to prophesy more tonight. So I'm doing what I'm told by Pastor Steve. He gave me a whole list on Friday of things I must do, the way I must do it, and so on. Yeah. He's like, you think he's the leader or something? Hallelujah. What's your name back there with the green dress? Angela. Are you in this church, Angela?
Yes.
You are?
Yes.
Are you married?
Yes.
You don't sound happy about it. What's his name?
James.
You like him?
I love him.
She likes you, James.
I love him.
Imagine, oh, she loves you. Excuse me. How about that? Ooh, he's just after your body, let me tell you. You're a plaything. So, what do you do?
I work in case management. I'm a discharge planner.
Discharge what?
Discharge planner.
Planner. Oh, nurse, okay.
Nurse.
And James, what do you do, James?
Teacher.
James, you've got a wonderful heart. You're a teacher, but you've got a shepherd's heart. And it is God's plan, if you will stay obedient to him, the church is going to grow, and God wants to eventually put you on staff in this church. This is God's plan, eventually, because you are a faithful, upright man that will teach and shepherd and nurture God's people. And people will come to this church because of you and your wife. So don't lose focus, James.
I won't.
You're the man. You're the man.
And so how many children do you guys have?
I have three, and we're a blended family.
Yeah, it's American. How many does he have?
Four.
Wow, seven. Beat you guys. Are you planning to have any together?
No.
The thing with you is you're still carrying some of your sorrow of your past with you, even though you're happy and move forward, but it's still clinging to you because you, well, let me put it this way, it's like a regret. You wish you can go back and change some stuff, but you're the sum total of all you've been through. Mm-hmm. That's who you are, and you're not functioning spiritually on your full potential. You have so much more to give. You don't want to be pushy or put yourself in a position again, and God's saying, put yourself in that position again. I want to use you. They don't know in this church what a power you've got. You can talk, you can communicate, you can preach. You've got it all inside of you. It's fire, but you feel like you're not qualified. God called you. God touched you. It's not what man thinks. It's what God says. And you have something that the people really need. Do you understand? You're a wonderful family, and God's going to really use it. You guys, there's no question. It's a good thing. The devil's going to try and get you away from here. He's going to offer you all kinds of business and financial blessing somewhere else, and it's not from God. Be careful, because this is your home. This is where you belong, right?
Amen.
Got it?
Yes.
Thank you. I don't know how much time I have. How much time do I have? I don't know. Doesn't stop counting down like we do at Theo's church. Okay, this fellow with the face, green shirt.
Joshua?
Joshua?
Yes, sir.
And your daughter's name?
My lovely wife, Devin.
Your wife! So young and beautiful. She must have thought you had money. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I knew she was your wife. How many kids do you have?
None.
You just newly married?
No. 7 years.
Seven years.
Yep.
Okay. And what do you do, Josh?
I'm a houseman for a family on Jupiter Island.
You're a houseman? Okay.
Yep.
What do you do, ma'am?
I'm a dance instructor and a manager at a dance studio.
You're a dance instructor. Cool. Yeah. Where do you go to church?
In Port St. Lucie. Yeah, a little south of here.
Okay.
North, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad you came today. I really am.
Thank you.
I love your heart. God's got a good plan for you. Trying so hard to find your destiny. You've tried several things. And the thing of it is, you've got to not search for where you fit in. You've got to search for the Lord. He's going to slot you, and he's going to open up doors. Sometimes they seem like so insignificant. He said, don't despise a day of small beginnings, because you're a good guy with a lot of frustrations in you, because you want to do more. You know you can do more. You've tried so many things, but you know you've got to do something. You've got a potential in you. You know there's a destiny in your life, and it's definitely from God. God put his hand on your life. He gave a promise to someone when you were a baby, what he'll do in your life, and he'll fulfill it. But the journey there is indescribable. You can't understand God's journey. And he gave you a princess for a wife because she was much tougher than you thought when you had no idea. You thought she was a sweet little, you didn't know idea. That girl can fight. That girl can get up and fight the fight. And she's not afraid, and she'll confront you even when things are not right. She has no problem with that. And she's helped keep you going straight, because you can be pretty hard-headed about some things too. And you bumped your head a few times, and you go from, you don't get easily angry, but when you do, it's you're difficult. And you go into this whole zone. And it comes from your childhood frustration, trying to reach certain goals in your life. And you've got to give that whole life, that whole goal, into the hands of the Lord, that he can really use you, because you have a destiny. Your destiny is to be a coach to young teenagers, to walk them through their life, into things of God, into their successes of their life. That's what you're really born for, because you're good at what you do. You see a whole plan always, and you've got all this knowledge and understanding, but you've got no one to give it to, and that's what God's changing in your life. He's got some really good plans. So what you're doing now is temporary, and God's watching how you deal with this. If you're doing it as unto him, if you're doing it with all your heart, God's going to open up doors that no man can shut. You've been burned by people and Christians of people that say things and don't keep their word. That really bothers you, because you're a promise keeper. And other people lie and say one thing and do another, and you're frustrated, and God's reconciling things in your own family that have been burned and broken, and God's going to fix it. It seems to be cordial but not healed, And God's going to fix that by His Spirit. As for you, ma'am, you've had strange dreams, really strange dreams, and God's been speaking to you and communicating to you through His Word. He wants to lead you spiritually in the way He's planned for you. You have many things to do. And I know you teach dance, but you have a real business anointing inside of you, and you will have your own store. That's God's plan for you. But you really have a wonderful heart, and you're a good communicator. People really like you. People just can't help you. Go to the mall, and they stop serving someone else and trying to serve you because they just want to be... do things for you, something on you, there's a command on you that God has given you. A really amazing lady in so many ways. Very discerning and very prophetic, no question. No question.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jesus. My newest book that I just wrote recently, it's Interpreting Dreams, Everybody Dreams. I realized about how this book still want to tell you about. It'll teach you how to identify your dreams. All of us dream. We spend a third of our life sleeping. And God speaks to us in dreams. And it will teach you how to interpret dreams. And there's a dictionary back inside, back of this book. It's required reading before entrance into heaven. So if you don't get it, then I'm not sure what will happen to you. I also have a whole course on the prophetic, 8 teachings. I have either on a USB stick and a book that goes with it. So if you want to look at the back and all the products, and I have many CDs back there too. And you can go online. Where are slides? You got the slides set up for me? I forgot about that too. I'm not very good at this marketing. Oh, there you go. I teach. My greatest call is to train prophets. That's what I do. And we have encounters that are increasing continually. We have some here that have come to our encounters. And we have the next one that's up in Nashville. And then if you have a smartphone, if you don't have a smartphone, get rid of your stupid one and get a smart one. And download our app. It's free. I do daily devotionals. I write them every day myself. It's not something that I recycle. It's something I write every day for Christians free of charge. You can get it in email or you can get it on the app. And you can see where we are all the time on the app if you want to do that. And then, of course, like us on Facebook and all that kind of thing. You know how that is. All right. So I'll be back tonight. But before I go, while every eye is looking at me, when everyone's here, I want to see how much courage you have. If you are not sure about whether you are right with God, if you died today, you're going to go to heaven. It's the most important thing of your life. I'd hate for you to come here and leave and not be sure that you belong to God. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm going to embarrass you. I just want you to have enough guts to put up your hand and say, I want you to pray for me, Ed. I need to make my heart right with God. I want to be sure that I'm really a Christian. Raise your hand and I'll pray for you. One person, 2, 3, 4. Okay. 4 hands. Okay. Now close your eyes, everybody, please. Close your eyes. And I want all of you to pray out loud this prayer with me, please. All of you pray this prayer with me. Ready? Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. And I ask you to wash me in your blood. Forgive me of my sin. And come into my heart and into my life. And be Lord and Master. In Jesus' name, I give you my life now and receive salvation. Amen. Now, Father, I pray for those that raised their hands and those that wanted to raise their hands. I pray that you would cause that to be a reality in their own heart, that they'll feel you, Lord. Just the way they felt darkness and sin, they can feel your life. Your light, I pray, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that work which you begun in them today, I pray that you will continue to lead them in the ways of righteousness, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to ask you afterwards, if you come and just see this couple, if you raise your hand, you want any kind of material, we're here to help you, to serve. It's our joy to help you. I was also someone needed help, and so here's this, they'll help you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prophet Ed. What amazing. We've been coming to this church for about 20 years, and we've known Prophet Ed for about 20 years. And I can't tell you, when he prophesies over you, you will want to hold onto that prophecy, write it down, listen to the recording of it, because you will probably need it in the years ahead. We've taken his prophecies over us, over my children, and they have kept us, and we have used that to fight the good fight of faith. And they are powerful, and we are so honored to have him here tonight, today, and tonight. So honored to have him tonight, because years ago he would come and only do one service. So if you didn't receive a message today, I encourage you to come back tonight, because and come expecting. Come with a red shirt on and a hat that's glittering that says, me, pick me. No, don't do that. He might not pick you out then. But no, come expecting. Say, Lord, I thank you for Prophet Ed's ministry. Thank you for ministering to me today. And that's how you get his attention. But we are thankful for Prophet Ed. And I'm here to take up the guest offering. And so we're going to talk about some scriptures here about why do we receive our guest offering. Prophet Ed, how many times did you minister last year? 28 meetings a month. That's a lot. So he has no time to have a job, right? This is his job. So the congregation, the church, is supposed to take care of the ministers as they pass through because they're taking care of us. Like Pastor Steve said, there's pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets for the edifying of the church, for encouraging us, for strengthening us, for getting us through our daily. So I'm going to do a couple scriptures here. The 1 Corinthians 9:14 said, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Do we benefit from it today? Amen, amen. I know I did. Just that word is so powerful, waiting on the Lord. And so John 5:8, it says in the Living Bible, dear friend, you're doing a good work for God in taking care of traveling teachers and missionaries who are passing through. They have told the church here of your friendship and your loving deeds, and I'm glad when you send them on their way with a generous gift. Someone say generous gift. Remember that. They are traveling for the Lord, and take neither food, clothing, shelter, nor money from those who are not Christians, even though they have preached to them. So we ourselves should take care of them in order that we may become partners with them in the Lord's work. So every time you sow into Prophet Ed's life, you know, he goes to Eastern European, a lot of countries, they ask for him to come. And, you know, God will send him to go over there. And he goes a lot of overseas trips. And a lot of those churches don't have money. But we live in Palm Beach County. Palm Beach County is one of the richest counties in the whole, probably the nation. I know it's definitely one of the richest counties in Florida. And so we should be generous. We are known as a generous church. And so we want to make sure that Prophet Ed leaves here today with well taken care of and able to put him over the next month or so, right, Prophet Ed? Yes. He says yes. Amen. So there's several ways to give. We're going to talk about that. We all, you know, if you write your check, don't write it to Prophet Ed. Write it to Ascend Church, because we will take that money and give it to Prophet Ed. So then online, there's a kiosk in the front of the foyer, and then text giving. And tonight, we are starting at 6 o'clock. Somebody say 6 o'clock. And we're only going to do two songs. So Prophet Ed is going to start right at 6:10. So don't be showing up at 6:20 or 6:30 thinking you're just going to get here right after the songs. We're going to do two songs. Then he's going to spend a lot more time even ministering tonight through the prophetic. Right? Amen. And so we kept you guys a little long today, but I know you're thankful for that. And let me see if there's anything else I need to say. The ushers are taking up the offering. Thank you so much. So today, text your friends and family, you know, that weren't here this morning. Say, you got to come. You got to hear Prophet Ed. And the same message that he preached today, you're not going to hear the same message tonight. He always has something more powerful even in the evening service. And so please come expecting, bring a friend, and don't be late. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Here we go.